Hey everybody, it's Isaac, your host. Intro before the intro, which means I've got an update. And it actually pertains more to Ashton Kutcher, but I'm also going to talk about some shirts. That's right, I'm taking you down Grifter Alley. But Ashton Kutcher stepped down from his organization Thorn that we talk about on parts 2 and 3 of That 70 Show. So that is something that changed since the recording. Of course, everything's late and breaking, right? So more to come on that as to why he stepped down. The other news I have to offer is I've got a Twin Peaks shirt you're going to love. It's an image of FBI Special Agent Dale Cooper from Twin Peaks and the infamous, iconic phrase, a damn fine cup of coffee, and he's sipping on a cup of coffee. You're going to love it. In the super soft shirts, I'm doing pre-orders. Those shirts will ship around November. And they're limited. So I need you to go to gumroad.com/IsaacW, I-S-A-A-C for double awesome. So that's gumroad.com/IsaacW. Links are always in the show notes. And you can pre-order your Twin Peaks Damn Fine Cup of Coffee shirt. Get it while they're hot. Damn hot. Welcome back to Occult Symbolism and Pop Culture. I'm your host, Ozzy Whatsapp. Today we wrap up That 70 Show Conspiracy with Part 3. We're going deep down Ashton Kutcher's rabbit hole. As you know, you've been listening to me for 2 episodes now. We had Part 1 and we had Part 2. I'm going to put a link in the show notes as usual. Part 1, we went through the whole cast of That 70 Show, talked about where they've been, what they've done, some of their odd behaviors. We went through the trial of Danny Masterson, the timelines, statements made, Ashton Kutcher, Mila Kunis, defending their friend, Danny Masterson. Then in part two, we talked about Scientology and the links to the occult with various figures, Jack Parsons, Charles Manson, Stanley Kubrick, Danny Masterson, Tom Cruise. And we talked about Chrissy Carnell Bixler's accusations, which led us into an accusation about Ashton Kutcher being involved in a murder. Involved how, you say? I don't know. She dropped a cryptic statement on her socials. And fair warning, I'm recording this on September 13th. All right? You probably aren't hearing this until, let's see, September 22nd? 25th? I don't know. Just depends, because I actually have a lot on my schedule the next 2 weeks, so I got to get ahead of it. So things could very much change since this recording. But she made some accusations on social media. And we talked about the murder of Ashton Kutcher's girlfriend. Now in part 3, we're going to talk about Ashton Kutcher himself. We're going to talk about Thorn. That's his Save the Children operation. We've heard this before. Connections to CIA, surveillance, Epstein, Clinton, venture capitalism, all kinds of stuff. All kinds of little secrets. And then we're going to talk about all these video clips circulating on social media from statements made by the actors themselves many, many years ago that were pretty creepy. And then we're going to wrap it all up where I give you my in conclusion, my final opinion. So let's talk. So last time we wrapped up with a statement made by Chrissy. She said, "Dear Ashton, I know the secrets your role model keeps for you, ones that would end you. Did you forget I was there? You were on speakerphone that night you called Danny on February 21st, 2001. I hear everything. I heard the plan. In my opinion, you're just as sick as your mentor." All right. So I thought, man, that's a really odd statement. Let's take a look at Ashton Kutcher. Many people think this guy's a total angel. Oof. You know, I've talked to people about this whole situation, and a recurring opinion I hear, oh, Ashton Kutcher, he tries to save those kids. Yeah, that's what they want you to think. He's trying to save trafficked kids. What an angel. I don't know about this guy. I've been researching this, and I don't like it. Of course, that's just my opinion. So let's talk about him. You already know his acting history. We talked about that a little bit in part one. He's the co-founder of A Grade Investments back in 2010, all right? They do venture capitalism investments, which includes such hits as Spotify, Uber, Shazam, SoundCloud, and Airbnb. Very successful, it seems. Now, the other guy who started this investment firm with Ashton Kutcher, his name is Ron Burkle. And if that name rings a bell, it means you, my friend, are in the Twin Peaks Grey Lodge with me. or maybe not. I did one free episode of Twin Peaks, the primer episode, on the free feed before we started diving deep into the Grey Lodge series on the supporter feeds. And we talked about how on Twin Peaks there's a mini-soap called Invitation to Love in Twin Peaks Season 1. And they filmed that in a place called the Ennis House. And this is when I mentioned Ron Burkle. When I said a billionaire named Ronald Burkle owned the Ennis House from 2011 to 2019. Now, during this time, he was also hanging out with Bill Clinton and Jeffrey Epstein. All right. I'm going to read you... I don't have the citation here. It's on my Twin Peaks thing. I cite where I got this from. In 2015, Gawker published the flight logs from Epstein's jet, which showed that Kevin Spacey, Chris Tucker, and such powerful players as Bill Clinton and investor Ron Burkle took one flight to Africa. A source close to Burkle says he was invited by Clinton, assumed the ride was vetted, then flew home on a commercial jet after finding Epstein to be creepy. So, maybe he's a white hat. Maybe this is a good guy, you know? He wouldn't even fly home on the private jet because he thought Epstein was that creepy. So good for him, right? Or maybe that's a clever smokescreen. You know what I mean? Maybe he knew exactly who Epstein was and maybe the timing didn't work. He's like, hey, I got to get home. And then Epstein goes to prison and everyone starts talking about him. And then he says, oh, shoot, I got to get ahead of this. I mean, maybe, right? This is a conspiracy show, after all. It's hard to tell what's real anymore, but that's the official story. And it's like, okay, well, good for him. If that's true, that's a great judge of character, my friend. Good job. And in case you're wondering why any of this matters besides the Epstein stuff, the Ennis House that Burkle owned was built based upon Mayan temples. And on that Twin Peaks primer episode, we talked about the human sacrifice element at play here. Also, fun fact, Ron Burkle bought Michael Jackson's Neverland Ranch in 2020. He used to be a friend of the Jackson family. So, I say all that to say this. Ron Burkle closely associated and invested with Ashton Kutcher with this venture capitalist effort. Very plugged into this scene of the Clinton-Epstein scene. And you know, those things tie into the intelligence agencies. So back to Ashton Kutcher. He also created another company that Wikipedia says this is the successor to the A-Grade Investments company. So I'm thinking it's the same thing, just a new name. It's called Sound Ventures. It says they invest in over 60 companies, including Skype, Foursquare, Airbnb, Duolingo, and more. Again, those are some pretty big hits. All right. He also invested in an Italian restaurant, Dolce, with Danny Masterson and Wilmer Valderrama. So there's some financial ties with all these guys from that 70s show. And here's where things get interesting, okay? In 2000, I'm going to read you straight from the Weekerpedia. In 2009, Kutcher established an international human rights organization with his then-wife Demi Moore, DNA Foundation, later known as Thorn, Digital Defenders of Children, works to address the sexual exploitation of children and the proliferation of child pornography on a global scale. Sounds great, right? Sounds great. Question, why was the name of it DNA Foundation? That's an interesting idea, right? I mean, what does that tell you about the business? These people put a lot of thought and time into business names and titles and logos. Why was it called DNA Foundation? Why did you change it? Was that a little too on the nose of what was really going on here? So what is Thorn? Let's not speculate. you know, so again, like I said, a lot of people in passing, when you talk about this, they'll say, oh yeah, Ashton Kutcher, the freedom fighter for the kids. God bless him, right? And I don't want to be a contrarian and be like, oh my God, everything's a conspiracy. Ugh, no one wants to help anybody. Like, no, there's good people out there. Maybe he's one of them. I don't know. Let's read from Wikipedia about Thorne. In April 2011, Kutcher and then-wife Demi Moore began a public service announcement campaign to end child sex trafficking. Kutcher claimed that 100,000 to 300,000 American children were sold into sexual slavery. That number was criticized by newspaper The Village Voice. Kutcher and others, including the New York Times, C-SPAN, and CNN, used a peer-reviewed study referring to minors at risk for sexual exploitation. The Village Voice, from their research, said it was only hundreds of children. Kutcher claimed the criticism by the Village Voice promoted child prostitution and used Twitter to request that Village Voice advertisers withdraw their advertising from publications owned by its parent company. And we're going to come back to that because that ties into Backpage, the Village Voice does. But to lay in the foundation of the argument here, Kutcher and many others have said, they pointed to a study and said, there's 100,000 to 300,000 American children sold into sexual slavery in America every year. Now, one fact I want to know is how many, says there's about 74 million kids in America. So 300,000, you know, what is that? Math on the fly is very hard. 1 out of 200. I don't know, ish, give or take. If you go with that 300,000 number. I mean, maybe, I don't know. What was that, one every elementary school? I don't know. But the point is, there's arguments about whether or not that's a true number. The Village Voice people, they say it's only really hundreds of kids. It's not that many. And Kutcher says, oh, really? You're trying to dismiss child trafficking when the truth is much darker. All right? We're going to come back to that. Okay, Thorne. Let's keep reading about Thorne. It says, Thorne, the Digital Defenders of Children, previously known as the DNA Foundation, is an international anti-human trafficking organization that works to address the sexual exploitation of children. The primary programming efforts of the organization focuses on internet technology and the role it plays in facilitating child pornography and the sexual slavery of children on a global scale. All right. Internet technology. Okay. Now, Thorne apparently works with, it says it works with a group of technology partners who serve the organization as members of the Technology Task Force. Now, this would include people like their board of directors, guys like Jim Pitcow, the co-founder of Attributor, which is apparently now called Digimark. It's a software company that uses, they do digital identification of stuff, right? The goal of the program includes developing technological barriers and initiatives to ensure the safety of children online and deter sexual predators on the internet. Various corporate members of the task force include, get ready for it, Facebook, Google, Erdetto, Microsoft, Mozilla, Palantir, Salesforce Foundation, Symantec, and Twitter. Says verification needed on there. So that might not be true, but that was on Wikipedia. Following the organizational change in November 2012, that must be when they changed their name from DNA Foundation to Thorne, Kutcher and Moore made the following statement regarding the overall focus on technology, because that's what it's all about. It's not really about saving kids. It's about rolling out surveillance technology. That plot spoiler, that's what I think is going on. For the past 3 years, we have focused our work broadly on combating child sex trafficking. It has become crystal clear in our efforts that technology plays an increasingly large role in this crime and in the sexual exploitation of children overall. We believe that the technology-driven aspect of these crimes demands its own attention and investment. As of July 2013, Thorne is in talks with leading internet companies, Facebook, Microsoft, Google, and Twitter, and at least three others, to collaborate on creating a database of millions of child abuse images on the web.
All right.
Now, I saw a video by Reason TV on YouTube that Ashton and many others use this statistic. We're gonna dive into this statistic because it's kind of, is it important? I mean, like, even if it's only hundreds of kids getting sexually trafficked, like, that's, we should do something about that, right? But is it 100 to 300,000? That's a lot. But it's a big country. I don't know, maybe. But, you know, groups like Operation Underground Railroad, I presume, would use this figure to raise funds. Tim Ballard takes a pretty good chunk to be the CEO, and his whole family's on the Operation Underground Railroad. They're making millions. Is that ethical? I mean, I don't know. Like, they need to get paid for their time. I get it. All right. So Reason TV, they trace this number to a source. And this is all under the this was under the direction of a guy named Michael Lacey of The Village Voice, who researched it because he's the owner of Backpage.com, who got sued for allegedly enabling trafficking through the website. And the source, and that doesn't really matter, but it's, you know, everyone's got an agenda here. But the source, the objective source, was a journal article from 2001, The Commercial Sexual Exploitation of Children in the U.S., Canada, and Mexico, by Richard J. Estes and Neil Allen Wiener, that had several issues. The issues are... And let's go through it, because this is basically poking holes in that statistic. And it's basically saying, yes, child sex trafficking happens. It's not as bad as you're saying it is. They discuss how this exact figure is very difficult to determine because of the people involved, meaning that victims and traffickers oftentimes don't want to talk about it, which makes sense. And the study was actually using the countries of America, Canada, and Mexico together, not just America. So if you say the 100 to 300,000, you're including a couple other countries in that too. They claim that if you do the math of 300,000 kids trafficked, that means there's 6,000 kids in every of the 50 major cities in America. Now, is that an accurate number? I have no idea. I mean, we're talking about cities with millions of people, hundreds of thousands of people. The study, but here's the thing. The study did not base the numbers on actual cases. They didn't, like, extrapolate and say, oh, okay, well, there's so many cases a year. They guessed. They guessed at who might end up being a victim, including if a kid runs away from home. They're like, well, that kid could easily be trafficked. Count it. So how many kids run away from home every year? 20,000? There's 20,000 right there. Boom. Next. You know, and I'm just using examples. I don't know if that's exactly how they did it. I did read something about it, saying something about runaways were included. I'm sure kids who go to juvenile hall is included. I want to make a joke, but I've got very sensitive listeners sometimes, so I won't. Kids who go to Catholic church. All right, I said it. Sorry, God, I know. I had one person already canceled me because I made fun of the Catholics. Sorry, I don't know what to tell you. The Catholics have a pretty bad track record of messing with the kids and then trying to cover it up and then claiming bankruptcy from all the lawsuits. I'm just reporting the news. All right. Now, where were we? Okay. The Crimes Against Children Research Center, they actually advise people not to use that statistic. This is what they said. In all caps, they said, please do not cite these numbers. The reality is that we do not currently know how many juveniles are involved in prostitution. Scientifically credible estimates do not exist. And then the final nail in the coffin, the authors of the study even disavowed this. They said that number is wildly inaccurate. And that's something you will find when you research this is every group who's interested in stopping this says you shouldn't use those figures. They're completely imaginary. There's no actual numbers. We just don't know. And after the Village Voice criticized Kutcher's activism because of those numbers, of course, Kutcher told his followers to start attacking the Village Voice. Seems kind of petty, but hey, whatever. And if you look it up, you'll find that tons of politicians and celebrities and so on will use this figure. And I'm going to guess I even used this figure at least one time, that 100 to 300,000. I'm going to guess I even used it. Because I also think that we should do something about human trafficking of adults and minors and women and kids and all that, right? But there's, you know, we gotta face the truth about what's the right figure, and apparently that number is wildly wrong. It's a bit of a fear-mongering technique because you think, man, that's a lot of kids. What the hell is going on? It's a fear-mongering technique to raise money for Ashton Kutcher and his venture. It's not venture capitalism to make sure that they can raise funds to help poor people out. No, it's to make Ashton Kutcher richer. It's to make Ron Burkle richer. That's what it's for. That's capitalism. Washington Post has a whole 2015 article that also confirms this is junk science. I'm going to read to you from there. It turns out that this is another one of those nonsense statistics based on data so old that the original researcher even says it's no longer relevant. The 300,000 figure also relied on a series of guesses on the part of the researchers, such as the assumption that 35% of runaway youth away from home at least a week were at risk, or that 0.25% of all youth ages 10 to 17 were at risk. So 1% of everyone 10 to 17 instantly at risk is what the study assumed, which is pretty wild. It became such an issue, this whole statistic, that the Department of Justice ended up doing their own study in 2013. So that's like, okay, well, let's take a look at what they got. Washington Post says, the report devotes an entire chapter to the question of estimates of sex trafficking of minors and concludes, as its top finding, no reliable national estimate exists of the incidence or prevalence of commercial sexual exploitation and sex trafficking of minors in the United States. Exhausting, right? And look, like, I'm not gonna keep defending it. It's like people are gonna think what they want, because when you position yourself as the person saying, "Hey, it's not as bad as they're saying it is," all of a sudden that makes you a bad person, you know. And with the Village Voice guy, maybe he was. I don't know, but we do need to know facts and know where assumptions were made and what's accurate and what's not. And like I said, even if it's only 1,000 kids in America getting trafficked, by God, we should do something about that, right? Now, if you wanted to come up with a figure, because some people, they need the math in their lives, they need to know numbers, you know, it's like it's like trying to do something about the mass shootings. Like, people try to rationalize things, and they're like, well, it only happens once every week, and it's only one school out of, you know, thousands of schools, and you know, people try to rationalize and sort of make sense of things. Like, well, the risk is still really low. You know, we saw this with the 2020 thing. Well, it's only 1%. It's not that bad, or whatever, right? People, as humans, we try to use logic to feel safer about things. So in 2010, Ohio did a study to try to replicate this exact, the Estes-Wiener methodology. For their own state, they said, okay, there's 300,000 kids. Let's see how many are from Utah, using their methodology, which Estes and Wiener already came out and said, no, that wasn't good. Don't do it. It estimated that a little over 1,000 Ohio youth were trafficked. It's actually much higher than I thought you would think it would be, right? That's a lot. Given that Ohio has about 1/27th of the U.S. population between the ages of 12 and 17, that means about 27,000 youth across the country. So is that the most accurate source? Is that the most accurate figure for how many kids are getting trafficked in America? That might be. But I would argue 27,000 is an absurdly high number. That's still very terrifying. So there you go. There's two sources, both of which rank on opposite ends of the media bias spectrum. Washington Post is more to the left. Reason is more to the right. And from what I could see, you know, that's based on the fact-checking media bias websites. So point being, we can throw away that number 300,000. For sure, we can throw that away. And if Ashton Kutcher really cared about this stuff, he would have read a few articles like I just did and would have came to that conclusion. But he's not. He's using that number to scare people, to sell products, to make money, which I think is the grossest thing one can do. That's why I don't like Operation Underground Railroad anymore, because I think that's what Tim Ballard does. Just my opinion. Moving on. Back to Thorne, all right? But still, point case, 27,000, that's an absurdly gross high number. I don't like that at all. Even if that's the right estimate, like, that's terrible. Still a problem, right? Still a problem we should take serious. Okay, back to Thorne. All right, everyone good? Everyone still with me here, okay? Hope you're still with me. Okay, I read a Reddit post. So you know the comments are full of experts, but hey. I read a Reddit post, and it was a criticism of Ashton Kutcher and his philanthropy, saying it was exaggerated and used to push civilian surveillance. Because Thorne has multiple arms that work for the CIA under the guise of helping with trafficking, which is what my concern is. That's what my concern with the Underground Railroad, Operation Underground Railroad, and the Sound of Freedom thing. Same thing with Trump, right? They pushed the QAnon and Trump. They all pushed this. We're saving the kids stuff, which is great. You know, I didn't hear Joe Biden talking about saving no kids, right? But, like, is he really? Not really. Not really. Maybe he did. I mean, you could argue. I do think that maybe Trump did push some kind of something about that. So I don't. Maybe that's a bad example, right? Because I pick on Trump all the time. But he did do some things that were pretty good, right? He didn't put us to any wars. I know that. So good for him. Okay, the Reddit poster, is this passion pit? And he's got some links to provide the backup for his citations, which are pretty good. Good for him or her. Don't want to assume genders. Is this passion pit says, the statistics these organizations use about trafficking are made up. From this article, Thorne claimed that 100 to 300,000 children are turning to prostitution every year, but a two-month investigation using law enforcement data showed that there were 8,263 arrests across America for underage sex work over the past 10 years. All right. Now, the number of arrests does not equal the number of cases, but still points to the idea that the number is much lower than 300,000 or 100,000 for that matter. The Redditor says, they are also notoriously shady about talking about what they actually do with their AI software, stating to Congress that they can't disclose how it works. The Redditor provides a link, by the way. On Reason.com, the headline, Ashton Kutcher claims he helped cops save way more sex trafficking victims than authorities say they've actually found. And I've actually read that one in my research. It basically lays out the numbers and says, Ashton Kutcher's numbers aren't accurate, is what it says. But Thorne does supply the police with, quote-unquote, free CIA-linked surveillance tools to protect kids. And like I always say, they always push, what's the terms here? Privacy for the promise of safety. That's the thing. It's very much the Patriot Act, right? You trade in your privacy for the promise of safety. And, you know, nothing is promised. Safety is never 100% promised. So do you want to give up your privacy that easily? I mean, there's arguments you could say that you do need to give up some privacy. It's like with the airplanes, right? I don't mind. I got to walk through the metal detector. I'm actually okay with that. Now, is it 100%? Because you can make a plastic, you know, guns and stuff. It's not 100%, but it's like, okay, it makes me feel a little safer. I'm okay with it. Because I remember a day when you used to not do none of that. Your family used to walk you to the gate and you were good. Now you got to take your shoes off and stuff. It's okay. But anyway, there's the idea that number was made up yet again. They're showing 8,000 arrests made over 10 years. So, like, okay, not every case gets arrested. Well, okay. But I don't want to focus on that anymore. I want to talk about software and the CIA surveillance. And this Reddit user posts links to reasons.com's website for that statement about how Ashton Kutcher can't disclose how it works. I don't know if reason.com has a beef with Ashton Kutcher or not. I don't know. But this is from 2017. On Wednesday, actor Ashton Kutcher testified before the U.S. Senate Committee on Foreign Relations on behalf of Thorn, an anti-sexual exploitation organization he co-founded with Debbie Moore. Thorn's main project is Spotlight, a cloud-based data collection and analysis tool that purportedly helps police find sex traffickers. According to Kutcher's testimony before Senator John McCain and other U.S. lawmakers, the app, supported by the McCain Institute, has helped save more than 6,000 U.S. sex trafficking victims, including 2,000 minors, in the past 12 months. According to Caldera, the company behind Spotlight's technology, the app was used in 8,305 criminal investigations into sex trafficking between September 2015 and September 2016, identifying 4,624 adult victims and 2,025 minor sex trafficking victims. These numbers wildly outpace the average number of new criminal investigations into sex trafficking opened in the U.S. each year, or average number of victims identified by U.S. law enforcement. For instance, between 2009 and 2015, FBI agents working with state and local police across America identified an average of just 175 minor victims per year. And they cited it to Attorney General, the 2015 annual report to Congress, an assessment of U.S. government activities to combat trafficking in persons. Okay, where do these numbers come from? Seems like he's also inflating those numbers. In regards to the statement that Thorn giving police free CIA-linked surveillance tools to protect kids, that Redditor posts a link to a website, Unlimited Hangout, which is written by none other than Whitney Webb. She's ran in many of the similar circles I've run in. She's on Rockfin. I think she's been on Tinfoil Hat a bunch. But there's an article on Unlimited Hangout from September 2020. And it goes deep. Boy, oh boy, does it go deep. Far more than we can go through on this article. So I'm going to pull out a couple pieces. But if you want to go deep on this, oh boy, there's a lot more. If you by the end of this episode, if you think, I don't know, I think Ashton Kutcher might be a good guy on the right side of things here, read the whole article, man. It's a lot. All right. A suspect NGO, non-government organization? A suspect NGO claiming to combat child trafficking by providing surveillance tech to U.S. police has allowed Amazon to continue supplying U.S. law enforcement with facial recognition software despite the tech giant's moratorium on its sale to police. Now, this was back during the Black Lives Matter timeframe. Back when a lot of conspiracy folks were talking about how facial recognition software was being used by the police, specifically Amazon's recognition software, because they were scanning crowds for suspects. I think the idea was like, hey, get all these people out in the street protesting, then we'll scan them and find all the people with felonies and parking tickets or whatever, or you know, murderers and rapists and stuff too, right? To be fair, I'm not saying like every criminal needs to be walking around like, yeah, catch them. Do it. In July 2018, the ACLU released a test showing that recognition, that's the AI facial recognition software of Amazon, had falsely matched 28 members of Congress with mugshot photos, particularly Congress people of color. 25 House members afterwards sent a letter to Jeff Bezos expressing concern about recognition. Amazon responded saying that the recognition test had generated 80% confidence. 80%. That's not that good. While it recommended law enforcement only use matches rated at 99% confidence. Oh, boy. And that's one of the problems with technology, right? They want to pretend like it's the foolproof, solid answer. They've got it all figured out, black and white, and that's just not the case. So back to Whitney Webb. She said, however, what the Times and other outlets failed to pick up on, then and now, is the fact that Amazon's recognition is still being supplied to U.S. police, despite its official moratorium. Indeed, U.S. law enforcement agencies are still being offered Amazon's facial recognition software by an NGO partnered with Amazon that was created by actor Ashton Kutcher, who frequently co-invests with Amazon CEO Jeff Bezos. That NGO, called Thorn, continues to supply the controversial software to law enforcement agencies around the country under the guise of helping police combat child trafficking. Thorn's role in supplying such software to law enforcement, despite moratoriums, is also notable because its founder, Ashton Kutcher, has publicly and tearfully supported Black Lives Matter amid the recent protests that provoked Ashton's moratorium on sales of recognition to police in the first place. In addition, Kutcher is also a major investor alongside Amazon's Jeff Bezos and a company that supplies AI-powered software to law enforcement agencies, further undermining Kutcher's professed software for ending racial inequities in policing. All right. Now, recall how we talked about Ashton's passion for venture capitalism and tech was in tech companies. And you see how it all fits together here. Maybe he cares about kids, maybe he doesn't. Maybe he cares more about selling AI software for his venture capitalist companies. And you can use the same argument for Sound of Freedom. Maybe they're interested in saving kids, maybe they're more interested in getting money. Maybe they're more interested in using fear tactics to scare people that their kids are going to be trafficked, so you better donate, buy this software, trust them. They'll take care of it. Because ultimately, the real statistics are completely unknown. Nobody knows. We have no way of knowing if any of this is actually going to actually reduce trafficking. Because there's no known statistics. Keep reading from the article here. Yet further investigation into Thorn cast even greater doubt on its professed altruistic objectives. Given the organization ties to CIA cutouts, Wall Street banks, and another anti-child trafficking organization launched by Hillary Clinton and Cherry Blair. Oh, that's priceless. That's the wife of former UK Prime Minister Tony Blair. So there's that Clinton connection again, right? And you remember when Ashton was working with Ron Burkle? You recall Burkle was buddies with Bill Clinton. And but on Wikipedia, it says they had some kind of weird falling out. I don't know what that was about. I'm going to keep reading. Eventually, Thorne's plan to create its own tech-led approach to combating online child sex abuse was shelved, with them instead partnering with two tech companies, Amazon and Digital Reasoning, to produce a, quote, product to aid in identifying child sex trafficking victims who were sold online. Thorn then made the decision to develop the product itself and provide it free to law enforcement. And you know, if you know anything about social media, technology, Google, Gmail, there's value in your data. They make their money off the data. The product isn't free. It's free. All these products are free, technically, but they're doing something with that information you're providing them. You know? Yahoo, they have free email, but they're, and so it was Gmail, but they're watching. They're seeing what they're doing so they can sell ad spaces. Like, oh, this person emails about, beard trimmers. They're into beard trimmers. Sell them some beard trimmers or whatever. Thorn's partners, per its website, include many of the largest Silicon Valley tech companies Amazon, Google, Twitter, Facebook, Salesforce, Microsoft, Intel, Dropbox, and Adobe, as well as Goldman Sachs and Verizon. They are also partnered with the NGO Polaris, which operates the U.S. National Trafficking Hotline and whose current CEO is a former operative for USAID, a CIA cutout. Polaris is also a member organization of the Clinton Global Initiative, an organization allegedly devised and initially financed by Jeffrey Epstein and also associated with Epstein's co-conspirator Ghislaine Maxwell. Other NGO partners of Thorne include the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children, which I think was the one I earlier said. They said specifically, do not use that statistic that Ashton uses, which is ironic. The International Branch, of which was launched in 1999 by Hillary Clinton and Sherry Blair, and the McCain Institute for International Leadership, named for the late hawkish Senator John McCain and hosted at Arizona State University. We're almost done. Hang on. The majority of Thorne's work involves providing local and federal law enforcement agencies with a software suite called Spotlight. Spotlight, under the guise of combating human trafficking, is a sweeping AI-powered surveillance tool that, per the tech companies that helped create it, is currently used by more than 2,187 law enforcement and intelligence agencies in North America. It is provided to U.S. law enforcement free of charge by the Thorne organization, allowing law enforcement easy access to controversial surveillance systems that they ultimately use for much more than combating sex trafficking. The software per Thorne is also used by the Department of Homeland Security. And it goes on and on and on. And it ties digital reasoning, which is, you know, the Spotlight, the company that makes the Spotlight, to the CIA because of the CIA, their venture capital company called InQtel. If you recall, InQtel was at one time, I don't know anymore, was run by David Petraeus, the former director of the CIA. We talked about that on our 5G episodes a few years back, about how the Internet of Things is about hooking everything to the Internet as a master surveillance plan. But the point is that the intelligence agencies have fingerprints on all this stuff. And we already know Epstein didn't kill himself, right? And Whitney's Web article is like drinking from a fire hose. You should read it because there's a ton I'm not going to get into here. But she accurately points out that Kutcher got his start as a model with Abercrombie and Fitch, which was owned by Leslie Wexner. And allegedly, he was besties with Epstein. They have financial ties, as per everyone. And he was also cozy with Charles Bronfman. They started a thing called the Mega Group. And, you know, the Bronfmans were part of that Nexium cult as well. I mean, it's way too cozy with a lot of people here, right? And she points out that some board members of Thorne were very sus. People like Joe Lonsdale, who's one of the co-founders of Palantir, who Palantir served as a contractor to all 17 U.S. intelligence agencies funded through InQtel. Well, his girlfriend accused him of raping her. I mean, the whole topic, it quickly goes into territory that A, I'm not qualified to speak on, and B, I'm a little scared to speak on, citing various key players like Nick Kristof, who's part of some weird conspiracy. At least that's how it's presented in the few articles that I can quickly summate for you. Apparently, allegedly pushing some kind of conservative Christian surveillance stuff, shutting down porn sites, using inflated stats with ties to Exodus Cry, some other Christian outfit that ties into Fosta Sesta. It's a lot. It's an exhausting amount. But the point is, there's a lot of real uncomfortably close ties that Ashton Kutcher and Thorne has with a lot of these suspect organizations and surveillance organizations. But let's talk about personal side of Ashton Kutcher. He also dated Brittany Murphy in 2002. She died a few years later. He's got a brown belt in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. He criticized Penn State's firing of Joe Paterno, said it was in poor taste. I was actually a student at Penn State online when the Sandusky scandal happened. I was very saddened by this. I grew up going to Penn State football games, and I loved Penn State. I still do, right? It's my alma mater. They fired Joe Paterno. He was a legend there, right? They fired him. Now, I think officially Joe Paterno told the presidents, I think Graham Spanier or something like that was his name, like, hey, this Sandusky guy's messing around with kids, or I've heard he messed around with kids or something. So in a theory, he did what he could, but Sandusky kept working with him. I don't know, how serious should Joe Pa have really taken it? I don't know. But it is kind of weird that Ashton Kutcher, who's trying to defend sex trafficked and abused kids, criticized Penn State firing Joe Paterno. He also writes a letter defending Danny Masterson, a convicted rapist. I don't know, man. It seems a little weird. Another thing that's weird, I'm going to read you right from Wikipedia. You can fill in your own blanks. And then we're moving on. Kutcher grew up as a Roman Catholic. As an adult, he practices Kabbalah and had visited Israel and studied the Torah. His wife, Mila Kunis, stated that he taught me everything I never knew about her religion, Judaism. Though as of 2018, he has not converted. On trips to Israel, Kutcher visited Kabbalah centers in Tel Aviv and Tzfat. In 2013, Kutcher remarked, Israel is near and dear to my heart. Coming to Israel is sort of a coming back to the source of creation, trying to get closer to that. And as a creative person, going to the source of creation is really inspiring. And this place has been really inspiring for me, not only on a spiritual level, but also on an artistic and creative level. So he's also into Kabbalah, turns out. Now, before we wrap this whole thing up, let's go through some interesting videos. There's a lot of videos circulating right now on social media about all these people we've been talking about the last three episodes. I'm going to play a series of them back to back for you. I found a great thread on Twitter by @CollieCat. The rest were various sources. The first clip is going to be Mila Kunis on a talk show talking about how she was forced to kiss all the guys on That 70s Show. The second clip is going to be Ashton Kutcher talking about how he was 19 and Mila was 14. And they sort of make light about how Danny Masterson bet him $20 that he couldn't French kiss her. And she blocks him from actually putting his tongue down her throat. And it ends very creepy. He says stuff like, Ashton Kutcher says stuff like, she was 15. That's a big year for a girl. That's when her world changes. Like, I don't know, dude. The third clip, Mila's sitting on Ashton's lap, and he's definitely, like, dry-humping her. There's a bunch of videos of her being sexualized. Mind you, she's underage that whole time. Ashton testifying during his Thorn time about when he was running the Thorn by the Congress, he was talking about children being conditioned, which is ironic. And then he's talking about Hillary Duff turning 18. There's another video I didn't find where Danny was talking about Mila being much hotter when she was younger. Take a listen.
I'm worried about you on the show because you keep boy
I'm a whore?
Hot. What?
Because I'm the whore in the show?
I think so.
I know. It's upsetting to my parents as well.
I off camera, I know you're such a nice lady.
Thank you.
You're what? You're all of 19.
Yes.
Yeah. And you're in the show though. You're just
I'm the one who's kissed every single guy in the show except for Topher.
Except for Topher Grace.
And, yeah, and in fact, I've kissed Laura's boyfriend, Chris, who guest starred on our show. So I've kissed the Mastersons. I've kissed everybody.
That's so wrong, isn't
it? Yeah. It is.
Yeah.
It's quite wrong. Yeah.
And what are the writers? They just throw you. They don't care.
No, they just. I don't know what they're thinking. I have no choice but to just kiss every man on the show.
I would never.
What's funny is when she was 14 when we started the show, I was like 19, right?
Right.
And they're like, okay, you guys are going to be making out in this scene. And I'm like thinking like, wait, this is like slightly illegal, right?
I was going to say, that's probably your first kiss ever, right?
He was my first kiss. What's some of a bet you made with Danny about our first kiss?
No, it wasn't the first kiss.
No,
it was like
ahead,
a second or third kiss.
It was the first. It was like the first week.
No, it was not the first week.
Whatever. Let me tell you what
all
happened.
Right, no, let me tell you.
No, no. Okay, yeah. So I've never kissed a guy. So okay. I was so. I mean, you know, Ash was attractive, and I was a 14-year-old little girl, and I was extremely scared for my life.
Sure.
And he was very nice about it. He was like, "Oh, don't worry." So I was like, "Okay." Then Danny goes and goes, "Dude, I'll give you $10 if you French kiss her." What would you stick your tongue in my mouth or some?
What? No.
For $10.
You're making it sound like it was like really okay. Dan, we had a little side bet going, like
which was
it wasn't very
as to
side.
Whether or not you know, like you know, you're kissing on the show or boyfriend and girlfriend.
Yeah.
You would use tongue, right, Rosie?
It depends what kind of an actor you are, I guess.
Absolutely. Right?
Yeah.
So Danny bets me like $20 that I wouldn't do it, and of course I'm like, yeah, sure, what's the deal?
You know? And then the cops showed up and you got arrested, pretty much.
They
but
should
never,
have,
he
but
never
they didn't.
Did it. And
He claims
to this day he did that. I swear.
Mila, never, I so did it.
He never did it?
I didn't let him. I think he tried, but I think I kept my mouth so close.
Come on.
You did the old teeth block?
Yes.
You didn't let him do the teeth block. Yeah,
Just admit it.
Dad, I swear.
She's 14. No. She did it. You stop it.
She would. No, that was not the first. You had turned 15 by then.
No, she was 12, I know
15.
There's a big difference. That 1 year makes the whole world change.
All right, then.
Hi. My name is Mila Kunis, and I'm from That 70 Show, and you're watching In the Crease TV.
Hi. I'm Ashton Kutcher, and I'm from That 70 Show TV. No, That 70 Show,
oh,
too.
Yes.
And the reason I'm doing this is not because I think In the Crease is good, but because Josh told me Mila would sit on my lap if I did. And it feels good.
I've seen video content of a child that's the same age as mine being raped by an American man that was a sex tourist in Cambodia. And this child was so conditioned by her environment that she thought she was engaging in play.
Wire, she also has an album out. She's going to be in a movie called Cheaper by the Dozen. And she's one of the girls that we're all waiting for to turn 18, along with the Olsen twins.
All right, in conclusion, let's wrap this thing up, okay? Danny Masterson found guilty of rape. Not statutory rape. That's what a lot of people are sort of conflating here. Similar but different, right? Especially now with Ashton Kutcher and Wilmer Valderrama. Mila's kind of stuck in the middle of all this because she was only 14 when she was on that show. And to be fair, most of those videos I played, they were, you know, they were jokes about waiting for a girl to turn 18. Or Ashton at least acknowledging that kissing a 14-year-old felt wrong and unlawful. So in a way, at least they're acknowledging that this is not kosher territory, right? So they're joking. And back then in the 90s, or early 2000s, it was kind of a trope. It was kind of a joke back then to talk like this about a girl waiting to turn a girl turn 18. Of course, it's very creepy today. Don't get me wrong, it is creepy, but I do recall it being a sort of joke back then, so I hate to condemn them for today's standards. It's not as bad as Republican State Senator Mike Moon, who went publicly talking about how he more or less supports the idea that the age of consent could be 12 years old. That's creepy, right? But, you know, the creepy underage factor, I mean, you could talk your way around that with me because you were talking about stuff back from the 90s and 2000s. And it's like, to be fair, at least they are saying like, oh, I can't wait for her to turn 18. It's like, okay. I mean, when she's 18, she's legal. So it's like, I don't know. Is it still creepy? Absolutely. Yes. What about Topher Grace? I haven't mentioned him much. Well, let's go to MamaMia.com. And Chrissy Brixler, who's been calling out a lot of these people, she addressed Topher Grace. The star of That 70s Show, whose letter was noticeably absent in the trial. During filming, there were lingering rumors that Topher didn't get along with the rest of the cast, which prompted his early exit in season 7 to pursue a movie career. In light of Masterson's conviction, fans have started to look at Topher's time on the show in a different light. For her part, Chrissy claims that it was Topher who was isolated by the cast under Masterson's instruction. So, like I said, the part one, maybe he's like the unsung hero here. Maybe he was aware of all this the whole time. But if you look at the Joe Paterno thing, it's like being aware versus raising a flag. How much do you condemn a person? I don't know. Let's talk about a cult and religion. Church of Scientology. Cedric Bixler, Zavala, and Chrissy used to be members, as was Lori Prepon. Danny Masterson, a current member. Fun fact, Tom Cruise follows Danny on Twitter. Ashton Kutcher is into Kabbalah. I'm going to read to you from thiswastv.com. It says, Topher Grace was once labeled an outsider on the set of That 70s Show. He rarely hung out with cast members after the camera stopped rolling. But right after co-star Danny Masterson's recent imprisonment, many say Topher was right to steer clear. Danny has studied Scientology since childhood, and he has a long history. As a member of such a group, Danny encouraged other cast members to join. Moreover, That 70s Show staff would throw Christmas parties as annual parties when in reality they were Scientology fundraisers. However, the only person from That 70s Show cast who didn't write a letter in Danny's support was Topher Grace. Blah, blah, blah. So there you go. And of course, Ashton Kutcher, we've got all that speculation. Who knows, right? But the fact that I have 24 pages of notes on these guys and 3 hours of show speaks volumes. There's a lot of weird stuff going on here. So there you go. I hope you enjoyed this. If you like the show, 5 stars. I need that 5-star rating on whatever podcast you're listening to support the show. There was a lot to talk about here. A lot of controversial theories. I leave it up to you. Make your own choice on what you want to think about all these characters. I certainly don't know. All I've got to go on is what I read. So thank you for listening to the show. If you want to learn any more, I've got links in the show notes for all my books and everything else. And it was very interesting research to do this on the That 70s Show. And I hope you enjoyed it. Leave a 5-star if you did. Till next time, stay woke.